Today, we said already we have enough introduction. Now we'll go to this. Today will be a new subject, one of the melachot of Shabbat. What's the melachot of the Shabbat? You remember we said that there is tal melachot. Tal means 39, tet lamed lamed tet. They don't say lamed tet because in Aramaic, lat, lit, that's kelala. When you say kalilcha, udlayit. Lit is kelala in Aramaic. They don't say lamed, they say tet lamed. Tal is good. Do. Do brings life. And especially the saying, Tahiyat HaMitim, how the people, the dead, will get up. God will bring do on them, and that do will make them come up. They call it Tal HaTahiyah. The do of bringing people to life again. This is Tal HaTahiyah. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mehayeh HaMitim, by bringing Tal. It's written in Nevi'im. That's Tal Melachot. There is 39 Melachot on Shabbat. One of them is Bishul. What's Bishul? Not to cook. Where do they learn? What's certain Bishul? The rabbi said, everything that they did in the Mishkan, that's called Melacha. And they had to cook in the Mishkan. Number of things. One of them, for example, they had to cook there to make a coloring, tzera. For Techelet, don't they have any Hote Techelet? Adme Techelet, Tseva. Tseva, they have to boil it, to work it, to make that coloring in order to dye their wool with Techelet. A number of things that they used to color, and they had to cook. Since they had to cook, that's called Melacha. And Mevashel is Melacha. Mevashel, cooking, is called Melacha. The question, if I cook, I take something is not cooked, and I cook it, it's melacha. How about if I cooked it already? Warm, I cooked it for Shabbat, and I cook it again on Shabbat. But I don't put fire, I can put it on, but I put the pot on the fire to be cooked. Cooking it again. The halacha is en bishul, ahabishul, not called cooking that, hayab mita. It's asur, but not penalty of death, there isn't. Because the rule is en bishul, ahar bishul. Once it's cooked already, it's not called cooking, that's called warming, it's not cooking anymore. This is the basic thing. The question is, you can't cook. Cook with what? Cook with fire. You make a fire out of anything. Could be fire made from wood. Could be fire made from coal. Could be fire made in a steel. Iron, electricity. It's in the steel, there is fire that brings heat and cooks the food. That's called cooking. How about if I don't cook with the fire, but happen to be a person can take an egg and put it under the sun. You know what they do today? Sometimes you take a glass, you want to light the cigarette, put the magnifying glass under the sun, put the cigarette under it, instead after one smoke comes, you're smoking. That means already fire came. But the sun is called fire, the sun is not fire. But if you make fire out of it, it is fire. How about if I take an egg, I put it under the sun, from the heat of the sun, gets boiled. You know, the sun gets roasted from the heat. Is hayab or not? No, it's not melacha. It's not hayab. If you put the egg under the sun and gets cooked, you didn't do anything wrong. Because the Torah forbid you to cook it with fire. But because it's under the sun, it's okay. That's a very, very big thing. How about if I did something, I warmed something very, very hard, from the sun, and then after I warmed it, I put the egg in it, and gets cooked from the warmth of this object that got warm from the sun, is not allowed. You come say, Rob, direct from the sun is permitted. Indirect will be assumed. Does it make sense? Is it logic? But the idea is this. When it is direct from the sun, it's not being cooked with a fire. When you make it indirect, people don't know how this thing was warmed. If you are going to use it to be cooked, people maybe they say, this got warmed with fire. And they will come to say, see, this is called Tolada Shel Esh. They don't know this is Tolada, came consequent from the heat of the sun. When you do it directly from the sun, everybody sees you are doing it with the sun. When you do it with something else that got warm from the sun, people don't know about it. They see you are warming it with something hot. This hot maybe came from the fire. That's called Gezera. Now, is that clear? I say it again. Something that you do with the sun is not called Melacha. Now, do people usually cook in the sun? No. Since if it was the way that people do, then the Chachamim would say, listen, Gezera, they would think everything is the same. But now that people don't cook with the sun, unusual thing. We don't make Gezera. But if you cook by the fire, this food that being cooked by the fire, depends, how did he cook it? He cooks it intentionally, he knows today Shabbat, it's forbidden, and he did it, Shema Yisrael. This is a big melacha. And he is not allowed to eat it forever. This man who did it, the Mezin, this food is not allowed to be eaten by the man who cooked it. He comes and say, how? Rabbi? How about another man? Can he eat it? Okay, he cannot eat it. Somebody else, he cooked it for himself. But comes somebody else and said, he didn't cook it for me, I can eat it. After Shabbat, he can eat it. He can eat it right away after Shabbat. He doesn't have to wait. But on Shabbat itself, nobody can eat it. After Shabbat, he will eat it. That's if he did it, b'mezid. How about if he did it, b'shogeg? By mistake. He forgot to do Shabbat. Or he didn't know this thing that I'm doing is wrong to do on Shabbat. And he did it, b'shogeg. He cannot eat it till after
Shabbat.
But how about him? Him, there is an argument. Some they say, the others, he cannot eat it till after Shabbat. Others, some they say after Shabbat, some say even same day, says b'shogeg. The halacha, they say, wait till Motzei Shabbat.
The Mezid Rabbi, the one who did it himself,
yeah,
he could have it after Shabbat?
I said, the Mezid, no, for himself, no.
Never.
For all else
could.
He can't have it at all. Not only that he can't have it, how about the pot that was cooked in it? He cannot use this pot during the weekdays unless he makes a challah.
Why?
Very simple, why? Isn't the food that in the pot is asur? It became like a piece of taref.
That particular meal is asur to him.
Huh?
I thought only that particular meal.
Yeah, but that meal is absorbed in the pot.
All right, but if someone else
the can taste one does the pot.
If someone else can eat it,
somebody else. But to him, it's asur.
So if someone else cooks in that pot, it's mutar.
Yeah, for somebody else, it's mutar. But for him, it's asur. You can't use this pot till he will make it a galah.
Even with 60%, was 60% more?
What do you mean?
There's more water in there than the egg is. I don't know, could you do it that way or no?
Let me, I'll come to this. There is a very tricky thing here now. You'll understand soon. I'll explain to you something very difficult now. That you never think of it, that this is the din. But this is the fact. Now you ask another question. But we're talking now about this thing that was cooked. The man that cooked it, he cannot eat it. Somebody who did not cook it, he can eat it after Shabbat. Now, the pot, he has to make a challah to it. How about if this food that he cooked got mixed with other things? Can be used or not? It depends to whom do you talk. To the man that cooked it, or to other people. What do you think, what's more worse, to the man who cooked it, or to the man that wasn't cooked for him? Whom should be easier? Whom should be more easier?
The one who cooked it.
That's common sense. But no, in this case not. There is something very, very confusing. There is a bitter argument between the rabbis about it. Here there is a din we have. If a chicken laid an egg on Shabbat, or a holiday, this egg cannot be used on Shabbat, or the holiday. Holiday you can cook, so cook it today. Or Shabbat you want to eat it raw the way it is, without cooking. You can't use it on Shabbat. If the egg was laid by the chicken on Shabbat, on Yom Tov, you can't use it. Why? Because not mukhan. Has to be everything that you eat today has to be ready for the day before. This is not ready. Now,
you
have
to
make
shahita on Yom Tov,
aren't
you?
Yeah, very good.
You're not
talking
about
shahita. Then there is tarnegoret omedet la'achila, or omedet legadel betzim. There is a difference. If omedet la'achila, you're right. You start to eat, you eat, and you eat everything in it. But if you don't, you don't want to slaughter it, you raise chicken for the eggs. Most of farmers, that's what they do with the chicken. They raise it for the farm. Most of chicken goes being used for the eggs. Now, if he does it for the eggs, then not la'achila, then you are not going to slaughter it. And the egg, when it came on Shabbat, wasn't ready from before, therefore would be assumed. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Now, ביצה שנולדה ביום טוב, בשבת, ביום טוב, אסורה. He's not allowed to use it. בית שמאי אומרים תאחל, ובית הלל אומרים לא תאחל. בית שמאי said, we don't need מוכן. בית הלל said, you need מוכן. This cannot be eaten. That's משנה, ארוחה, מסכת ביצה. The Gemara is asking, how about if this egg got mixed with many other eggs? You know, in mixing, there is two different dinim. There is sometimes something asur gets mixed with mutar. We say, batel v'shishim. There's 60 times as much of the things that fell into it. It gets dissolved and permitted to eat a whole thing. Once there is 60 times as much, it's permitted. But there are certain things our rabbis told us, even for 1,000 times as much, is asur. Number of things. And number of reasons will make it not batel. Does not get dissolved and say abolished is become mutar. No. Which one is that? One of them is betzah shenolda b'yom tov. We got mixed even with other 1,000. Say, oh look, all of them mutar, they were from yesterday already, from the last week, from the week before. No matter. Even 1,000 as much is not allowed. Why? Because that's called davar shiyesh lo matirim. The thing that can become mutar later. The betzah, when is forbidden?
Shabbat.
On Shabbat. Sunday, you can eat it. And since you can eat it tomorrow, why should you eat today, even though it got mixed? Eat them tomorrow. There is no loss. For what? Therefore, Hachamim said, "Davar sheyesh lo matirim, afilu be'elef la batir." If it will be 1,000 times as much, it's not batir. Eat it tomorrow. Is that clear? Now here, what did we say? The one who cooked it is not allowed to eat it forever. Therefore, this is asur. Asur forever. And if get mixed, will be batel, will be mutar. But for the other person, tomorrow will be mutar. Today is asur. Tomorrow will be mutar. For him, it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. If davar sheyesh lo matirin, afilu be'elef la batil. Here comes something very peculiar thing. The one who cooked it, he will be able to eat it. The one who did not cook, He's not allowed to eat it. Why? The Vash is what? You're going to let him eat it tomorrow, not tomorrow, today. Is that clear? But there is an argument in the books about it, somewhere in the books about it. It looks like a very funny thing. The one who made the Isur, you tell him is Mutar. The one who didn't make anything Asur, you tell him Asur. Therefore, they make it forbidden to all. Do you understand? This is why, because they don't like the idea. It looks to the people, people make fun of us if we tell them this. They don't understand the reasons the way we explain it. They'll come and say, B'nai Shalom, the one who did the issue, he made the prohibited thing, tell him, it's okay, you can eat it. The one who didn't do anything wrong, you tell him, you are not allowed to eat it. Does it make sense for them? That's why they don't like it.
What about En Mevatelin Isur L'Chatechila?
That's a different thing.
Doesn't apply to this at all? Why not?
No. En Mevatelin Isur L'Chatechila is this. If we said now, if thing falls, and there's 60 times as much, will be Mutar. You come, you measure it, you see there's not 60 times, there's only 30. You come and say, okay, what's the big deal? I'll add 30 more, I'll make 60. You understand? I said, no, you can't do that. If it happened that fell into 16, I tell you, you come to the rabbi, the rabbi will tell you mutar, but the abad. I said, it happened already. But if not happened, you say, I'll do it.
Yeah, well, adding 30 is the same as taking it when it didn't fall into anything and putting it into 60. Adding 30 is no different than taking something that didn't fall into anything and putting it into 60.
I'm surprised at you.
Why? It sounds the same.
You think something didn't fall, you are allowed to take it and put it into 60?
No, I don't think, but I'm just saying it sounds the same.
No, we say
because
you cannot,
1 in 30 is not 1 in 60.
You cannot do it. You cannot do it yourself. It happened, failed, into 60 is what that.
Yeah, but it happened, it fell into 30, is as if it fell into nothing.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's right, and you can't add 30 more and say, will be 60 times as much as will be Muntah. That's Khatahila. When you add, you know that's forbidden, you want to make it Muntah, Khatahila is not allowed. To add 30 more, you can't. That's Enmi Batani in Surah Khatahila. You ask me, what is Enmi Batani in Surah Khatahila? Can you take a piece of meat, Taref, and put it 60 times as much meat kasher and eat it?
No.
Common sense.
So what about this case now with the one who would asur to him?
Because it's davar sheyesh lo matirim.
Only because of that.
Tomorrow will be mutar. That has nothing to do with this.
Okay.
Okay?
You got it.
This is what I say. We go around to see. I say, but as I said, there's two opinions in the books. Do we permit it to the people that they didn't cook it or not? Some they say, from the halakha point, you should be mutar. Why? For them, for the men who did cook, would be mutar. For the one who did not cook, should be for the halakha. So, why the bashi is matirin? But some hachamim don't like it. They say, how can you make it to look funny in the eyes of people? The one who did the melacha, you tell him you can eat it. The one who didn't do the melacha, you tell him you can't. Do you understand the point? Okay. This is what we come about. Then, toldot hamma, toldot ha'esh, and person who cooks b'mezid, or he cooks b'shogeg. Now, we said that you can take an egg and put it in the sun and eat it. But I told you, if you warm the piece of cloth you put in the sun, it gets very hot. Very hot sun, and anything you put outside under the sun gets very hot. After it got very hot, you take it, you put an egg in it. This is worse than putting it under the sun. Under the sun would be permitted. In the piece of cloth would be asur. Why? Because people that they see it, you are warming it from a piece of cloth that was warm. They think how this cloth was warm by the fire. They don't know, they don't see it. When you do it under the sun, people, all people, they realize. Here becomes, under the sun is mutar, and there's something that got warm by the sun would be asur. Does it make sense? Again. But again, because this has a gezerah that I would think of that. Again, there is, as we said, two opinions about it. Yeah. Then, a person, sometimes he is allowed to cook on Shabbat. Sometimes a person is allowed to cook on Shabbat. You told it many times, don't you? They used to have injections long ago, not like today. It's already in a plastic bag. It's already in, goes to sanitary and everything. Used to have injection. Used to boil it. I don't know if you remember. Maybe you are too young to see that. Doctors always, they came, they gave an injection. Injection they were afraid that maybe it will, God forbid, poison him. Because something germs. What do? They boil it in water. Doctor comes, he boils it. Jewish doctor, he comes, a sick man. He has to give him an injection. If the sick man is Haleshi, Yeshpo Sakana, he's in danger. He's alive. He takes the injection, he boils it, and then he puts the injection on him. Then he is cooking for a person who is Hore. Or sometimes the doctor prescribes certain kind of food for Hore that has and he is in danger. And they don't have the food. But the doctor said he must give it to him. And they cook it on Shabbat. Because since there is Hore that he has Mesukan in danger, you do anything for him for Shabbat. And therefore, a person came and he cooked for a sick man. This man that cooked, he did Avera. Not only Avera, he did a mitzvah. Not only he didn't do Avera, but he did a mitzvah. Comes a person and said, okay, you see, he cooked a meal for Reuven. Reuven was very sick, he cooked it. He did it. It was permitted for him to do it. Can I come and eat it? No, why? This is not something asur, something mutar. Why should be I should be forbidden from eating it? Because we say, if we tell him I can eat, you know what he will do? While he is cooking for the man that is in danger, he will add more food for me. Then he's not cooking it only for him. He's cooking now for me too. That would be not allowed. That's what they call Haishenan, El Gemara said, Shimei Yerbe Bishvilo. Maybe you will increase to put more for the person. If you say anything that cooked for Haleshe Yishpo Sakana will be mutar le Adam Bari, to a healthy man, then always they'll cook for the healthy man. They will put more. But if a goy cooks it, a goy can cook even for Haleshe Yishpo Sakana, you know that. Anything. Because Amira Lagoy is Shibut. What does it mean Amira Lagoy Shibut? If I tell a goy to do Melacha for me, am I doing Melacha? No. And the goy is a Sulasat Melacha? No. Then why is it forbidden for me to tell him to do? Because if I tell him to do, maybe I'll get used also to do it myself later on, for everything has been cooked for me. Therefore, Hachamim said, you are not allowed to tell the goy to do things for your Melacha for Shabbat. Now, Chachamim said asur, when there is a person sick, even though he is not in danger, but sick or suffering from certain sickness, a goy can cook for him.
What about
Bishul Grain? Now you ask a very good question. How would you answer this question? He asked, there is Bishul Goyim, what do you mean? How can we eat? What is the Bishul Goyim? You think in everything there is Bishul Goyim? Bishul Goyim, there is only, no, there are things that there is Bishul Goyim, there is things, there is no Bishul Goyim. Davar she'ne'echal kemot shehu hai, en bo din Bishul Goyim. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Something that usually you eat it raw, edible raw, if a goy cooked it, it's not called cooked. Because you could eat it even without him cooking. Therefore, there is no din bishule goyim in something that you eat it before being cooked. Only the varsha, eno ne'echal kamot shehu hai. And he cooks it, that means he made it to be able to eat it, be edible. Since he makes it, Arbon is not allowed. The only thing of Bishilon Goyim, really, the thing itself, originally, it's not Asur. Why do you mean, if your Goy cooked it, is Asur? They don't want to be in very close relationship between Jew and a Goy. Once you become very close to him, today you are close to him by food, tomorrow you will be close with him with his daughter. You understand? They don't want that closeness. Chachamim forbid many things in order not to come into Birminan something worse. Gazu al kama devarim mishum bitam. That's Lashon Gemara. Gazu al pitam mishum bitam. You know, pat akum. Pat paltar. Pat paltar is mutar, mahloki. Paltar is a baker.
Yeah.
But if there is a bread of a private goy, that he does it, even if he does it, you know, the ingredients kosher, and he has a new oven, kosher oven, you're not allowed to eat it. Why? It's a private man that you take from his bread, and that comes more closeness. Today the bread, tomorrow the drink, the daughter. Ah, she's so pretty, you know, how they come into problems. Therefore they tell us, Chachamim asu harbe devarim, in order not to be assimilated with the goyim. And I told you many times stories about this, how important it is to be very careful with what Chachamim forbid us. They were Chachamim so careful with these things that they can bring Chas v'Shalom closeness between the goyim and the Jews. And this is what, as I said, the goy cooked for chole. Could be yesh bo sakana, en bo sakana. There's no difference, because you can cook a goy even for chole she'en bo sakana. That's why in this hospital, we don't worry about if they cooked it for the chole. If a goy cooks it, of course, not a Jew. I'll say a Jew, of course, we do care. But if goy isn't, now, can another Israel eat it? Again, he can't. Why? Because he may do it for the healthy person. He will see that they want it for him. He will be always, from now on, he will learn to put more for the other people, other Jews. That's why he's assumed.
Rabbi, you were saying that you could tell the goy to cook it for him, but only certain things? Is that what the bottom line was?
The what?
You can tell the goy to cook for the chole.
Yeah.
Right? Because of Shavuot, you said. But anything he can cook, or only certain things?
No. But for chole, you can cook anything.
Anything.
Sure. But the goy can cook.
He asked you about Bishulei Akum.
Well, I'll come to it. I didn't finish.
Sorry.
I just said, Davar she'ne'echal kemo shehu chai, en bo Bishulei Akum. Therefore, we are talking about something that is not Bishulei Akum.
Right.
If there is Bishulei Akum, how can the Bari eat it?
Right.
He cannot eat it. Chole, it's okay. But the Bari cannot eat something Bishulei Akum. Oh. We are talking now, if the Bari will be able to eat something that he cooked for the Chole, which is Mutar, and Mutar also the Bari that is not Bishulei Akum, can he eat it or not? We come and say, on the same day, he cannot. Well, maybe he will make more for him.
Yeah.
But after the Shabbat, it's mutar, okay?
Mm.
Sometimes there are things which say he should wait till the time they can be able to cook it, but you know, it doesn't have to. He can eat it quick. Even the sick man himself, if it is not yesh bo sakana, chole she'en bo sakana, he cooks for him on Shabbat, and the Shabbat is over, and you want to eat from it now, he can't eat from it now. Why? Now you can cook and you want. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Why do we permit the Shabbat? He needs it. He's chole. But if he's already, he doesn't need the food of Shabbat, that being cooked on Shabbat, why should he eat? He will eat one that he can cook on after Shabbat. Even the chole himself. Not only that, the pot that he cooked in it needs a gala. Why? If there is Bishulei Goyim, then would be a soul. absorbed in the pot. The pot needs a galah. You have to kosher it. Just like in Pesach, like any other time. If you cook something that's forbidden in a pot, what do you do to the pot? Make a galah. Not always a galah, sometimes lipun, depends what you do.
Is there any definition how sick the person has to be? If
there is any difference, what?
Difference how sick. If he's got a cold and he wants a hot cup of tea.
We're talking chale that he needs it. You're talking just to fool around. We're not fooling around. A person comes a little headache, it's better for him not to eat. And don't have an excuse and something that wrong. Now, a person comes and says, I have something wasn't cooked before Shabbat. But I want to come, soak it in something, hot water, for example. But when I soak it in hot water, it becomes softer, becomes better. Are we allowed to put it in hot water to soak it in it or not? If it is hot water, that's really very hot, they call it Hamsha Yat Soledetro, is not allowed to put it there. If you are fixing it to be, for example, in Gemara there is, used to have a very small fish, like sardines, you know, small. The minute you put it in a very hot water, gets cooked. Didn't need to be cooked over the fire. Now he comes and said, I'm not doing anything, putting in the water. Puts it in a very hot water and gets cooked. It's not alive. That's called bishul. You're cooking it. Yeah?
The question where he got the hot water though? No,
Once you put in the hot water, very hot, and cooks it, there are some books that said, even in Keli Sheni. What do you mean Keli Sheni? Is halacha what's called cooking. You have a pot on the fire, and you put in that pot, that's called cooking. Sometimes cooks a little, every minute more, cooks more. There is a little cooking in it, for every minute, that you put it over the fire. But it comes and says, I don't put it on fire. I take something that was on the fire. There is water and a pot on the fire. That's called Keli Rishon. Then you take this Keli, you pour the water into another Keli. Now the water that's in the second Keli is called Keli Sheni. And pouring from Keli Rishon on Keli Sheni, it's called Erui. Erui means pouring from one on the fire to another one. Now there are many things they say, listen, Keli Rishon, if you put in it even for a minute, it's called Mevashel. If you are Me'are Me'keli Rishon on something, it's called Mevashel. Yes, beer, raw meat. You put from boiling water, you pour it on it, you did Avira, or Bishul. Then, that's his Me'are. Then there is Keli Sheni. I pour it into Keli Sheni, then I put something in the Keli Sheni. In Keli Sheni, there is a Mahloket. Maran and Muran, also Rishonim also. Some they say, Keli Sheni lo mevashel, aval mavliya vepolet, that goes into it, the taste of the things. So it's a very big thing, daunting. It comes and says, if you take something soft, put in Keli Sheni, becomes very effective. That's why they say, if you put small fish, even in Keli Sheni, that's so. It becomes mevushel. From this came the idea of T-bags, Mahloket Ansuma, disagreement between the rabbis. Come and say, listen, Keli Sheni, Lame Vashel Da'at Maran. Therefore, I put hot water in a glass, I pour it from the thermos into the glass, then I put the tea bag in it on Shabbat. Keli Sheni, they tell you Mutar. Some they say, no, this is like the fish that we say, soft, gets cooked right away. Something, leaves of tea, gets cooked right away. It's a matter of opinion. Hachamat Lub told them they can do it. To put water first and then put the tea bag in it. And our people, most of them, who are his students, they make it. I don't. Because Rabbi Yosef Haim, the word of Ben Ish Hai, forbid it. said anything that can soft, similar to those fish that the Gemara said, can be, whatever it is, can be effective, the wine, the water would affect it, it's forbidden. It's called Bishur. It's Hadush Gadol. You put in Kalishini. Why? But that you is not allowed. Because since it's been cooked by it. Now, there is another thing. Something cooked, we said, if you put it in water, hot water, it's not called cooking. Why? We will rule en bishul, a har bishul. It's only warming it. Therefore, en bishul, a har bishul. Come and say, for example, you had hot water already was boiling from before, for Shabbat. You have it. You're putting it in a glass. You bring some kind of rice already cooked, and you put in it. This is cooked, and this is cooked. You are not cooking anything now, and you. It's okay. Same thing if you have soup over here, and you have some rice. You want to put the rice in the soup. Can you or can't you?
Should be able to.
You can do it. This is cooked already, not that you are cooking it now. That's called en bishul, habishul. There's no bishul after something that was cooked before. But they come and say, how about if you have something baked or roasted and you put it in something that was cooked? It's a mahloke. Some they say, yesh bishul ahar afiyah. Or yesh bishul ahar tziliyah. Some they say, no, also not. Imagine. Many people say, yes, bishul hafiyah. Therefore, if you have a soup and a plate that's very hot, boiling hot, a yet solidified bowl, you put a piece of bread in it. Oh, they tell you, you are cooking it, yes, bishul hafiyah. Imagine. Therefore, you have to wait to cool a little. That would be not yet solidified bowl, yet solidified bowl. That, you put a hand, you can't. So hot that a person can, it's hard for him to eat it from the heat.
You know, like that, like these packages. All right, so you have water warming up on the fire, you know, from before Shabbat. All you have to do is take the thing, just dump it in there and.
Dump it where?
Into the water.
Into the water, where there is the water?
In another, oh. You know, like a bowl.
Over the fire?
No, you take it off the fire, use the warm water, and you put
if
like...
It is, if the thing is cooked already, it's not called cooking.
No, it's just regular hot water, and you just take the thing, just dump it in there.
Yeah, the thing that you take, it's cooked already.
Is it cooked?
You're talking something cooked before.
It's not really cooked, I mean...
It's not really cooked as a soup. But we're talking about something was cooked already.
Okay.
I said cooked rice, I was mentioning before, that you put in the soup. But most of the books Achronim say today very difficult for people to determine what's called very hot, not very hot. They make mistakes. That they say, oh, this is not very hot, I can drink it. You know, Yetzirara comes and tells him, this is okay. Therefore he said, eliminate yourself from problems. Yeah. Don't do it.
And so you just put cold water in there to cool it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take like a little water and just mix it like that, what's the hot?
We'll come to the water later. I'm talking now about food. And okay, this time you ask a good question. Sugar. I put sugar in the glass, then I pour water. Hot water from Keli Rishon on it. I'm cooking the sugar. The sugar gets cooked.
That's something you eat.
Huh?
That's something you really eat.
Sure, it isn't.
Eat?
I mean,
we're talking, you take from Keli Rishon on it.
Okay.
Ma'ared, that's why I really pouring on it, that's called Bishul. But the sugar is cooked already before. When they make the sugar.
It's
pre-cooked. That's why, and Bishul, Habishul, you can pour from hot water on sugar.
What if you pour the water on sugar cane?
Same thing, sugar cane also.
No, sugar cane, straight,
off
you know,
the
tree.
Fresh.
Put it in a cup and you pour from Keli Rishon onto the sugar cane. No. Is that considered bishul?
What do you mean sugar cane from the tree? There's
sugar
no sugar
cane. The unprocessed sugar. You ever see they sell it in the stores? Yeah, it's like a tree, like a branch.
That they suck
in. The one that you suck on, yeah.
Yeah.
And you put that in the glass and you pour the hot water on it.
You're cooking it. Same thing.
That is cooking or is
sure,
it?
Sure, cooking.
That is cooking.
Of course. But talking sugar that we use, the sugar that we use every day, you can pour hot water on it because en bishula, ha bishula. That's what I'm mentioning now. If we come and say sugar is cooked, how about coffee?
Instant tea also.
But coffee again is called like baked and roasted, which we said there is a mahloket in it. Because that's called kaluy, roasting of the beans of the coffee beans. It's called kaluy. Kaliya is called like tziliya, like afiya. And the one that said yesh bishula harafiya would be not allowed to pour water straight on the coffee. What they do? They tell you put the water first and then put the coffee. Because once you put it, the water first becomes kalishini. Then you put the coffee. But the true dalakha is en bishula harafiya. Therefore, they put, we don't tell people, don't put coffee first. But some Hasidim, they don't put the coffee first. They put the water first, then the coffee. Yeah.
I remember what it's called. The bouillon cubes, you give them flavor to the thing if you want something.
Bouillon is not, it's not a lot.
You're not, that's what I wanted to know.
No.
What was the question?
Okay.
The bouillon cubes.
Bouillon, there's cubes that they put them.
Just flavor to the...
Yeah.
Well, that's not cooked already?
This is metaken. There are different things also there is. Okay?
You said, Rabbi, that there's ein bishul achar kiliya, right? Does that mean also tzali also? Or that's
same
separate?
Thing,
that's
same thing, tzali.
Same thing. And have an afiyah?
Yeah.
That's still...
Same thing, afiyah, kiliya, tzali.
You said that's okay, or...?
Two opinions. Halacha is mutar, but it's better not.
Not too. What about spices?
Now, very good question. If it is keli rishon, You can put spices in there. You put the spices in keli sheni.
But they cook the spices.
Not keli, the one that's on the fire you don't, because you're cooking the spices there.
But the spices are already cooked, some of them.
Depends which spices. Black pepper is not cooked. You grind it, it's when you put it in hot water, it's cooked.
Garlic.
There are many spices, amount of spices, what is it? You just grind it. Cinnamon, you grind it. The black pepper, that's, you saw the black pepper before they grind it?
It's a little this, cold. They roast them so that they dry out.
Yeah, and they don't roast it.
No, I
thought
they grind. I don't know.
Who told you that? Black pepper is not roasted. Black pepper the way it is, they grind it.
That's it.
The only thing they grind it. Of course.
I didn't know.
No, black pepper is only, they grind it. No, this is not harif, this is not zhug.
You're talking only harif, right?
Yeah.
Only kharif. Because they speed up the cooking, is that it?
No.
I do want to know what you're talking about.
The spices.
Yeah.
If you take now, here is the pot on the fire.
Right.
On Shabbat. You come, I forgot to put black pepper yesterday.
You can't.
And you put in the pot while it is on the fire. It's not a lot.
You're cooking.
Why? Because, not because of the soup, not because of the meat. Oh, not because of the food, because of the spices. You are cooking the spices now. Well, spices are not cooked before. And you are cooking them now. Do you understand? You can put in kali rishon.
But isn't there a machloket about whether or not you could even put it in kali sheni?
Kali sheni, I said machloket maran, I said eno bevashet. It's not mevashel.
Okay, so why would it be mevashel and keli sheni? Huh? Why would it be machloket? Because it
depends. If something rach, they say, it's called mevashel. Something soft, I said before.
Nothing to do with the charikot.
Something kashe, no. Kashe. So there is certain things, it's hard. It takes time to be cooked. There's something soft. Therefore, if it isn't keli sheni, something rach, mevashel.
Same category as the fish.
Like I said, the fish, the sardine. Not every fish, you put big fish, doesn't. It's not mevashel.
No, those fish that you were talking about.
Yeah. That's why they want to learn the tea bags from the fish.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is forbidden, this is forbidden.
Can you go back to the coffee for a minute, please?
The what?
Coffee.
Can you go back to the coffee?
Yeah.
And pouring from the keli until Rishon. Can you put the coffee straight into the Rishon, or you have to do it in Sheni?
No, you can't put it in the Rishon.
You can't?
Of course. In the Rishon, no.
No.
But in Keli Sheni, when you ma'are alav, there is two opinions. Some they say you can pour on it from Keli Rishon. Well, what you put in the glass and you pour on it. Some they say no, because this is not called cooked, it's called roasted. And when you cook after roasting, you are cooking, it's a different act you are doing.
But instant coffee is cooked, Rabbi.
Huh?
So dry roasted.
Freeze dried and instant coffee, isn't that called cooked?
No.
The powder itself was cooked. It was cooked and they evaporated the water.
I don't understand you. You think every coffee is cooked?
No, no, I'm talking about
coffee. Usually
instant coffee.
And then they grind it. That's all. Hamsua is not cooked.
With Hamsua.
It's roasted. Sure. Yeah, I don't know if you saw many of Syrian people here. They go Turkish coffee. What do they do? They roast it.
That I understand, but the instant coffees that you buy, the Maxwell has.
I don't know. The instant coffee is cooked, maybe. I don't know. Maybe pre roasted only.
Maybe pre roasted.
I don't know. Maybe it's pre cooked.
They're all roasted. If you take.
I think the instant they say it's cooked.
If you take like soup, it's off the fire now. Either you put some spice, you'll have